Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please excuse my English. I never studied English. My English is from my first trip to New York in 1971, when I stayed in hotel a week and I was afraid to go in the street because I cannot talk. And I watch TV all the time. And my English is from commercials, believe me. I really never studied English because in my time, when I was in school in Soviet Union, we studied German because it was before the war with Germany. Now the young generation in Russia studied English because we are prepared to the war with United States. Russia never liked a language of friends. Russia respect a language of enemies. In Moscow, in 1971, when started the movement in Moscow, first of all in Moscow, you remember this, the two death sentences in Leningrad, the trial, and the first strike when we made the 24 in the Red Square. All the world opinion was very interesting. What happened suddenly in Soviet Union, a country that was frozen 55 years, where people were afraid not only to talk against the government, but to think about this, because the wife can be a spy at night, you know? Who knows? The country was silent 55 years, and suddenly started a movement against government, but maybe the strongest government now in all over the world. And American journalist, Mr. J. Axelbank, from Newsweek magazine, called me in telephone in Moscow in March of 1971. Till now, I can't understand. Or he was foolish, I don't know. He called in telephone in Moscow, and he knows that my telephone is taped because my telephone is working for KGB. I'm activist, and he talked openly in telephone to me. Mr. Sevela, I want to take an interview with you for Newsweek. Okay, I understand. If it's the KGB, now we're looking for where we will make the meeting. At all, the best place is my apartment because I will stay at home. We will arrest it. Not we cannot arrest me in the street. I will stay at home. And he come to me. My age man, with a good face. And the first question, I have a good apartment in Moscow, in the middle of Moscow, a very good apartment. And he look at the apartment. You want to leave Soviet Union from such apartment? Can you imagine, an intellectual, a journalist from United States, he cannot understand why somebody can leave a country with a good apartment. I tell him a Russian language. I don't know how to translate into English. Into English, it looks like going to hell. In Russian, is better. Because I spent a long time in Russian Navy. I told him, listen, my dear friend, every word that I will tell you, this is the word to the KGB. I know. But I talk now straight in the microphones, but in my walls. I will leave Soviet Union if I will have 10 apartments. And you will sell United States for a piece of bread. 3 years later, I met him in Jerusalem. Now he's a journalist from Newsweek in Israel. Hello, hello. How are you? Well, I tell him I have some troubles. Sevela, why you stay in this country? Again, he is disappointed. Why I tell this story? It's not a joke. This is a normal American. This is very dangerous. It is very dangerous. I met in the United States some years ago a very interesting personality from Russia. He escaped from Russia maybe 12 years ago. He was a high-level KGB officer in Soviet Union. But I didn't know this in Soviet Union, because in Soviet Union, he was a scriptwriter for me. And suddenly I discovered that he was a very high officer in KGB, but he worked among the filmmakers. Why he worked among the filmmakers? Because in all the embassies in Moscow, we like film actresses. you know, on the parties. And he was one of the filmmakers who came with the film actresses and tried to put him in bed to some diplomats. And after this, the French ambassador in Moscow, Pierre Maurice Dejean, was 8 years a Soviet spy. He made all this affair with him. And he escaped from Soviet Union because he was afraid something will happen to him. And he wanted to tell the world, to the world, all the story, what, how the Soviets worked against the embassies. I met him in New York. And he told me all the story, how it was. And he asked me, listen, I was an officer of KGB and I escaped from Soviet Union because I was afraid they can kill me every day. But you was a filmmaker, real a filmmaker. Why you leave the country? But then listen, from some point, and he told me a terrible thing. My friend, you jumped from a ship what is in a victory to a ship what sunk. America is going to the bottom. I spent here 12 years. It is terrible. And he told me different stories. He was in CIA here. He worked with the people. And he told me, listen, here, wait, if you have enough money, we will sold out you what you want. And he reminded me a story how two Soviet spies buy American missile in Germany. You remember the story? And a small Volkswagen, we carry a big missile from an American airbase all over West Germany. The missile was so big, well, she was 2 feet longer than the car. And they came to the Soviet zone. This is, and he was very afraid. He told me, I don't know what to do, because we will die soon. I understand, he told me. We will die very soon, because the Soviets are around. Recently in Jerusalem, in Hebrew University, was made a very interesting experiment with the students. In this university are Jewish children, boys, from different countries. We take 20 immigrants from Soviet Union. 20 from Latin America, and 20 from New York, and from United States. And we made a poll, we asked them some questions. All the 20 from Latin America are really communists. They dream about communism. They hate the West, the civilization. They hate the parents, the rich parents. The American, what the American, the 20? Maybe 10 of them. Drugs, girls. Communism, some sweet, some interesting, maybe it's better than what you had. And only the 20 from Soviet Union hate communism. Can you imagine that? It's 20, 20, and 20. Believe me, now is the time not for jokes. From my point of view, I was in the United States maybe 5 or 6 times. I was in Germany, I spent the time, in England, in France, in Italy. You know, I cannot sleep quiet. From my point, and from the point of my friends, all the Western countries, like small children, spoiled children, who stay in front of a tiger, and all the time they put a finger in his mouth, and we're looking for what is inside, and we try to go with the head. The tiger smile now. But believe me, I know what is the tiger because I was a part of the tiger. Soviet Union is very, very strong. Soviet Union is stronger than United States. Now in the world is a balance of weaknesses, you know, because United States is weak. Soviet Union is weak because China is on the neck. And we have peace because it's a balance not of power, but of weakness. I don't know how long it can be. In the last war in Middle East, I am a former officer in the Soviet Army. In the last war in Middle East, I was in the war against Syria and Israel Army, in Russian units, Russian unit, former Russian immigrants. And you know what we discovered? A very interesting thing. This is from the point of former Soviet officers. The weapon. Israel had American weapon. The Arab had Soviet weapon. The Arab had a better weapon than Israel. Most of the weapon, the tanks, T-62, the Soviets, every Israeli member of the crew dream to be in this tank, not in American M60, because it's better. It is 5 years better. 5 years. The planes, MiG-25. MiG-25 fly all over Israel, nobody can reach them, not the Phantoms. In United States, the F-15 are not ready. The anti-tank missiles, the Soviet Tigers and the American Taos, Tigers are better. My dear friends, it is very dangerous. A country like Soviet Union had the best, now the better weapon than the United States. Because United States talk too much about the tent. You might, United States send to Soviet Union the best technology. You send them the rope. You know what we will make with the rope. Terrible thing. From my point, this is my point. You, in United States, in France, in Germany, the best example is Germany. West Germany and East Germany, I was in both of them. In East Germany, 17 million, the population. In West Germany, 65. If tomorrow you make experiment, a war between East Germany and West Germany will be occupied in 2 days. 17 million communists, not communists, from a communist country, will occupy West Germany, because West Germany is lazy, West Germany don't want to die, West Germany want to drink, to spend a good life. East Germany, soldier like in SS in World War II, because strong and we are ready to die and to kill. And this is terrible. 65 and 17, one nation. You know the example of South and North Vietnam, how it's happened. It's a terrible bell. Look what's happened in the United States. In the United States, you remember the story with Gilmore, with the death sentence of Gilmore? You don't think that this is a disease of the nation? If a half a year, a killer, a murderer, an animal, who killed two persons and leave orphans, and all the country want to save him, and he asked the country, please kill me, I am there. No, you should live, you should live, you should be happy. What's happened with a nation? Angela Davis, the really bitch, really bitch, make a tour all over Soviet Union. And in Soviet Union, she is the best friend, because Soviet Union like only own persons. The best friend, and she came back to United States. And your young generation applauded her. It came a Soviet spy, a murderer. When the Soviet expelled Amalric, Andrei Amalric, if he will tomorrow come back to Soviet Union, 25 years of jail. That's all. This is the difference. You know, it came a time when America cannot permit to be so weak because it is too dangerous. You know, in army is a profession. I don't know how it is in English. In Russian, it's sapeur, who looking for landmines. You know? It's a soldier with equipment who looking for landmines. It's a good proverb about a sapeur, this man. He can make a mistake only one time in his life because he had the possibility for the next mistake. Now came the time of only one mistake. Because too strong are both sides. They can, you know, explode all the globe. But we are not prepared. We are not prepared. Look what happened the last time when Mr. Vance came to Moscow. Like a boy, he was expelled. Like a boy. Because the Soviet Union show to Carter the thief, and you will see he will looking for a way now how to be softer to them. Soviet Union respect all the time only one enemy, an enemy strong. We respect a conversation from position of strength. Remember the story with Cuba and Khrushchev. Khrushchev was a very brave guy, till Kennedy tell him in 24 hours a war. And it's finished all the story. he apologized. Because the first time he hear a really a voice of a man. United States, the last years, all the policy of detente, this is a policy, you know, of a woman from the street who don't think about the future, who sold their own future, the own children. We have now in Africa, after Asia, you know, Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, from my point, a sick prophet of the world now, a real prophet, who came to United States, to Western Europe, who talked to the people, and you know, the liberals, they laugh. They think that he's crazy. They laugh. Nobody wants to listen to him. They laugh. But he told wonderful words. It's the World War number three was already, after World War II, United States and the West lost. Eastern Europe, part of Latin America, and maybe all the Asia, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. We stay in front of the fourth World War, the last. And we should be prepared to this. Because we cannot go more back and back and back. Now in Africa, Castro. Castro made a wonderful trip. After Angola will be Rhodesia. After Rhodesia will be South Africa, Mozambique, Angola, all the South. The best raw material for the nuclear bombs will be in the communist hands. All the ways, the routes in the ocean over Africa will be in their hands. Very soon we will have all the oil in the hands, in the control. And the West will, you know, dance and talk about the tent. Because the biggest mistake was made maybe 10 years ago when in the Middle East, England left Persian Gulf. You remember the story with Persian Gulf. And nobody take care what will happen with the place of the fuel for all over the world. Now we have the results. The oil embargo one time, and tomorrow can be again. My point, the most dangerous thing in this world now is what the young generation haven't positive ideals. Communists, ideology is wonderful made, you know, where the biggest tickers, the communists are people from circus. We play wonderful because we know the psychology of a normal, average human. We give them the best promises, more than the church. But the promise is tomorrow. And today, work and be silent. Work and be silent. No questions. Tomorrow will be on. What is in the West? Nothing. What have your young generation? What kind of ideals? Only one ideal? Communism. Because it's very sweet. It should be all equal. It should be no rich people. We forget, but never will be. We will be all poor. Communism never made rich people, except the rulers of the country. You know what the rulers of the country, more rich than Rockefeller. But this is socialism. I was one of the members of the Soviet elite. The Soviet elite is maybe 0.5% of the population. We pay a lot of money because we need the propaganda people. Cinema, we pay a lot. But all the other people, I spend in Moscow with my wife and one daughter money, maybe 10 times more a month than a doctor. Because a doctor had in Russia $120 a month. And I can spend 1,000. This is socialism, really socialism. Socialism like Soviets, and you remember all the socialist countries, we like to talk about this. Soviet Union, this is terrible. We are animals, the Russians, you know, the former slaves. But we will make socialism with a human face. And how it's finished? In every country, when came the communist, is only prisons, concentration camps, and silence. It will be in France. I respect the French people, they like freedom, but we will stay on the knee. I know how it was made. I was in Lithuania when the Soviet came, and I was one of the Soviets, okay? Believe me, Lithuanian people are small people. I have a big respect to this nation, 2.5 million. They were occupied. And this was only one nation who resist. They resist terribly. We fight from 1946 till 1951. It was a terrible war inside Lithuania. It was in Stalin's time. Lithuania was closed from all the sides for the Soviet civilian citizens. You cannot come to Lithuania. Closed. Inside were troops and the Lithuanian women, children, and men in the forests. 100,000 Lithuanians were in the forests. And we fight day and night with such machine. And all the world, in United States, in France, you were very busy with one thing, the dirty French colonialists in Alger. I remember, I laugh in this time. All them radio, the dirty colonialists in Alger, we kill a child. And I stay near, how it is, a hello, with three girls hanged. And I read this in newspaper. Three young girls hanged on the street. They kill a child in the village. The animals, the French. And all over the world, Soviet Union, United States, everyone look in Alger. In Lithuania were shot 50,000 civilians. In Lithuania were expelled to Siberia, deported. A 500,000 in Siberia, Krasnoyarsk Krai, this is a big area in Siberia, was named Small Lithuania. Because 500,000 Lithuanians were expelled to Siberia. And after Stalin's death, when we were allowed to come back, from the 500,000 came 75,000. Because the children died and the old died. From cold. And nothing, the American president shake the hands with the Soviet president. It's the same like to shake the hands with Hitler in 1938. And your young generation, listen to Angela Davis. Your young generation will never listen to me. When I tried to talk in England, they told me you're anti-Soviet animal. We were in Moscow 2 days, tourists. A wonderful city, the people look wonderful in the street. I told them, listen, I am 6 years in the West and I cannot tell you exactly how you look. And you were 2 days in Moscow, a country from what is from the top till the bottom from propaganda made. And the propaganda in Soviet Union is made so good, you know, what we who made the propaganda, sometimes we believe in this. Because it's a wonderful school of propaganda, from black, white, from white, black. This is, and this is very dangerous. It is terribly dangerous. The last time, my friends who came the last now from Soviet Union were told, but it's a hell now in Moscow. A hell. And Vance will come the next time to Moscow, and he will solve against a new Europe. You know what Soviet Union, to looking for the dissidents, you know, Soviet have very bad electronic equipment. They had good missiles, but not electronic equipment. They buy from Japan the electronic equipment to look for us, you know? Now United States is a big competition between United States and Japan. Who will give a better equipment to Soviet Union to find the dissident? And you sold them the equipment. But you forget one thing. Soviet Union stay in Havana. Havana, this is Soviet base. Tomorrow, Soviet Union will be Mexico and Ecuador. After tomorrow, Soviet Union will be in Quebec. And one morning in New York, you will listen to the same terrible accent. Believe me, this will be the worst morning in New York. Officers with the same accent, maybe worse than mine, will walk in the streets. The time is now dangerous. It's not a time now to jog and to dance. Something should be made, but you know what should be made from my point? Not to fight now with Soviet Union. We should fight, first of all, with the own people here, because the people are blind, like small cats. We are blind. We should wash the brains, because everyone think about this. You know, Soviet Union, a wonderful dream. Everyone is equal. The peasants are happy. They are happy when they have 100 grams more bread. 100 grams more, very happy. Why, listen, if you will try here in United States or in England to talk about this to the people, we don't want to listen to you more. We will listen to you if you will make this good, but nobody will support you. I talk to very important people. The conservative, the anti-communists, who are the anti-communists in this world? The people who have the biggest money in this world. But we are very ashamed to be anti-communist, you know, because it's a bad fashion, a bad taste. How to be a... I told to Edmond Rothschild. Edmond Rothschild, you believe me, he's a little bit more wealthy than me. And we were good friends with him. He told me, you're my brother, okay. And I was, he made a reception when I was published my book in France, in his palace in Rue de l'Elysée. And he understand what Soviet Union is dangerous, and it was a day before the elections in France, in the last elections. Giscard d'Estaing and the socialist Mitterrand. You know, we're very close to each other. And Françoise Sagan, you know, Françoise Sagan's a French writer. She was next to me on the table, at the dinner. And she told, I dream about Soviet Union. Soviet Union, the socialism. And Rothschild, listen to Sevela. He spent all his life in Soviet Union. He knows what is communism. So now what he knows, she knows in Paris. And Rothschild told, tomorrow maybe you will have this in France, because if Mitterrand will be the winner, behind him stay Marché, Marché the Communist Party. You will have the same concentration camps in France. And all the party finished, became all very drunk, because like you know, before a big flood, people who were at this reception were very rich. And Edmond Rothschild, in 2 o'clock at night, he was drunk, take the microphone, and one composer play on the piano, and he starts to sing the hymn, the anthem of the Communist International. And all the rich women and the rich men sing with him in French language, because International, the first time was made in France. And among them, only I am was born under this song, and I know what is this song. The song is in blood made. And we sing this song. We sing the song. Maybe some months later, I talked to Rothschild. Listen, I want to make a documentary movie about communism for TV to show the people in the West what is really communism. Everyone talk communism, communism. Communism is, you should documentary show the people what it really mean. How communism behave with a family, how communism behave with religion, how communism behave with workers, with peasants, with small nations, and people will understand what it mean. Maybe you can help me, support me. I need some money to start this. He told me, listen, don't tell me that. That's, I am ashamed. He is ashamed to give money for a movie against communism. He will give money for the liberals. He will give money for what you want, for the lesbians, whom you want. But communism, anti-communism smell bad. Now a year, I prepare an outline. I want to make a long for maybe 20 or 25 one-hour series about communism to explain. To explain to the people, because Soviet Union made a terrible propaganda to the West all the time. It's open. Everyone listen to them. But to explain to the people what's been communism in different sides, in all over the world. Because now, in this world, from Soviet Union, thank God, escaped a lot of good filmmakers, a lot of good scientists, and we have a lot of people who create communism in Soviet Union, in Eastern Europe, and now we are expelled, and we stay here. They can tell the real story, how it was made, and what it means, and how it stinks. And Soviet, Hungarian, Polish, Czechoslovakian, Yugoslavian filmmakers will make this so emotionally, what an old grandmother will at night cry from the nightmares. I was all over the United States. I was in England. I have some lords, friends. I told them, listen, we should make something to start this. Everyone is ashamed. Like pornography. How? You know, we have a trade with Soviet Union. Here the trade. He will trade the whole family tomorrow to Soviet Union. Everyone. The same is in United States. In United States, I talk to people, very rich people, very influential people. They told me, yes, yes, it's wonderful. It's a good idea because the people are blind, really. We need this for the students. We need this for the farmers. We need it for everyone. Okay, I told him, please, I have 200 persons who can work in this. Please, give a possibility to start. No, ask another guy. I will tell you to whom to go. I come to him, he told me, I will tell you to whom. And everyone send me to each other. No, this is dangerous. Because believe me, if in Moscow, I have a good experience with such idea about capitalism. I came to the Central Committee, told Savella, stop, sit down here. Start, now. Because we understand what it means. Because they say it ideological war before a hot war. And something should be done. Here, it's terrible, you cannot do nothing. Nothing, not in Israel, not in United States, not in... In Israel, you know, we have demonstration of the ruling party with red flags in the streets. The former Soviets, we start to cry. We escaped from a red flag, came to another red flag. What it mean? Nobody wants to understand. You know, and in every country, it's the same. Who opened the door to the communists? In Lithuania, in Poland, in Yugoslavia, in all the countries, the liberals. Because we dream about, we like to talk, to chat. Communism, you know, a worker will be the ruler of the country. Never a worker will be a ruler of the country. Brezhnev is not a worker. He's a bastard, but not a worker. Never. A gang takes the rule. And the workers in Soviet Union, in Yugoslavia, and other countries will live maybe 10 times worse than a worker in South Africa. But in Soviet Union, our meetings, I remember meetings from TV, I watched TV, a meeting in the big automobile plant in the city Gorky. You know what's a meeting? Say the Soviet workers, you know, dirty dressed, half hungry, and a big meeting. Why? To support the American automobile workers in various strikes. Solidarity. Who? The American want more $100, over $1,000. They have $80 a month. They are solidarity with American workers. But the Soviet Union, they never will make a strike. Because a strike is jail. No strikes. And we come and we want to support the American workers in various strikes. And the United States, Angela Davis told them these sweet stories. Listen, we are solidarity with us, the Soviet workers. We're waiting our help. This is, from my point, should be made one thing. Inside the countries, because it's the government can fight with each other, but the average people, the people who are patriots of the countries, the people who believe in, you know, in humanity, in democracy, in the West civilization, we should start a big campaign to explain, like to small children, what it means, this terrible tiger who looks so sweet, communism. Please, don't forget about this. We should make something because my speech is named If the West Will Survive Until 1984. I hope she'll survive. But what will be later, I don't know. We should make now something. And the first, we should explain every day who is who in this world. What's the second part of the world? I was a month ago from West Berlin. I came with the subway in East Berlin. Believe me, this is the best movie. The best movie from one street to another street. Like in a hell. But we should explain to everyone, because most of the people in the United States don't know what it means. They mean it's a good people who are fighting for the workers. Thank you for your attention, and if you have questions to me, please ask me, I will answer.